Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolutionary.org Hardcore 2.0 is coming your way, episode 184. Today we're going to talk about tirzepatide, more information on it by Pharmaquo. So this is going to be a very important podcast. We did one earlier on tirzepatide, an earlier episode. This one's going to be an improvement on it. We're going to give you even more studies. We're going to give you even more idea of, you know, what it is. We're going to talk about the mechanisms of action, how to dose it as a bodybuilder, studies, user experiences, which we didn't touch on before. And we're also going to talk about how to use it as part of your steroid stack. First of all, I want to remind everyone, Apple, Spotify, we're on there as well. We're on different platforms. We're trying to get the channel growing. We're trying to get the podcast growing. We need your help. The best way you can support us is by liking, subscribing, commenting, giving us ratings and all that good stuff. All that stuff is free. It's a free podcast. And we really would appreciate your support so we can get the algorithms picking us up so we can keep this podcast going. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to keep it going. So if you like the information we're providing, definitely help us help you by taking care of that and helping those algorithms pick us up. So let's start about tirzepatide information and learning what it is in the first place. So we've got to remember, it's not a peptide, and it is not a hormone. It's actually a drug, and it's been approved for treating both obesity and type 2 diabetes. They call it Zepbound when it comes to obesity treatment, and it's called Mounjaro when it comes to diabetes treatment. Eli Lilly is the drug company that brought it to market, and it finally got FDA clearance in 2022 after many years of hard work and research into its benefits. So the main goal was to be a step above its competitor, which was created by Novo Nordisk, called semaglutide. And so far, it's exceeded expectations. And we're going to go over later some studies that compare. Mobster is going to go over a study that compares semaglutide to tirzepatide so you understand how much better it is. And the reason that it's better, we're also going to get into it on the next section when we talk about the mechanisms of action. So one of the best benefits is shown to give people is both better control over their type 2 diabetes and when it comes to obesity, an amazing ability to help someone lose body fat without the nasty side effects found in other drugs. So it's a really, really good drug that they came up with. That's one of the reasons I really like it. I like these products because the lack of side effects, if you compare them to these other drugs that bodybuilders have been using over the years, and that people with obesity or who've been trying to lose weight have been using over the years, even an over-the-counter stimulant fat burner that you get off the shelf has nasty side effects. It's going to speed up your heart rate. It's going to fuck up your sleep. It's going to make you feel jittery all day. It may make you feel hypoglycemic all day, and just gives you headaches and does all kinds of things, gives you heart murmurs and enlarges your heart and does all these bad things. Well, guess what? Tirzepatide doesn't do any of that. And we've seen the studies given to obese people. There's studies that have been done on seniors that have taken it. And there has been very, very, very little side effects, very, very little side effects with it. Especially if you keep the dosing good, which we're going to get into later. So it's a great, great drug. Mobster, what are your impressions of tirzepatide?
Yeah, all of the GLP-1 antagonists and similar products to tirzepatide, as Steve said, the most obvious and common side effect is an upset stomach. And ironically, as Steve also inferred, and we've actually seen this for ourselves, the only time antagonist, not is when people have changed the dosing scheme. And we've seen that from users on the forum as well as in the studies themselves. For the most part, if you start at a low dose, and especially in the studies, stay on that dose, the proportion of people that are struggling with side issues, with side effects, is minimal. I'd agree with what you said at the beginning there, Steve. How many times have we seen bodybuilders using very harsh products to lose body fat? I can think of one or two. I'm not even going to say them on the show, which are potentially lethal. I've referred to historically the issue of literally speed, amphetamine sulfate, etc., being given to people to help them with diets back in the day, and the side effects of those, as Steve has suggested, it was absolutely on an order of magnitude above and beyond. Something that we said on previous shows for all of these products is I've been quite impressed with the way that the scientists have approached this process and mimicked essentially how the body's working to produce these great results. So yeah, absolutely agree with you on all those points, but Steve, and I say, compared to the harsher products that bodybuilders have used in the past, I would argue that the side effects here are relatively controllable. If you stay on dose, if something's working, there's no need to tweak it. The bodybuilder mentality kind of jumps in there sometimes, and we'll probably address that later on in the show. Back to you.
Let's talk about the mechanisms of action. So, let's go over the differences between semaglutide and tirzepatide and give you the glimpse of the differences between these two drugs. And, semaglutide has been around longer than tirzepatide. A lot of people got a lot of benefits from semaglutide. Millions of people have tried it over the years. But look, when something gets better and gets improved on, we always want to look at that. So the difference, main difference is semaglutide is a single agonist, which is very, very good. But tirzepatide is a dual agonist, which takes it a step beyond that. So tirzepatide does two things, which activates hormone receptors when you use it. The first thing it's going to do is called GLP-1, which is glucagon-like peptide 1 receptor. So this works great for balancing blood sugar levels and slowing insulin release, lowering glucagon release and slowing gastric emptying. So the second thing it does, which makes it a step beyond semaglutide, is and that's what makes it a dual agonist, is called GIP, which is glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide receptor. And what this does is improve the effects of GLP-1 to make things run more smooth. Both of these things will prevent hypoglycemic symptoms when eating in a deficit or low carb. So you're going to feel more satiated faster during a meal. It's going to change the way our body stores and burns fat. So my experience using it, let's say you get a big meal, right? And you're eating that meal now without being on these. I'd be able to finish that meal no problem. I've always had a big appetite. But on these, you're going to be eating that meal and you're going to take that extra bite and right away you're going to feel it. You're going to be like, "Whoa. I don't even, I feel sick. I don't want to eat another bite." And literally, I find myself a lot of times putting food in my mouth, chewing it, and then literally being like, "I gotta spit this out. I can't even finish it." So, but a lot of people, like on Reddit and a lot of these social media, they think that it's all about, "Oh, I'm restricting my calories. I'm not eating much. That's why it's causing you to lose appetite where you're not eating as much." But like as I said, it's doing other things in your body. It's lowering glucagon release. It's slowing insulin release. It's balancing your blood sugar levels. It's doing those other things in your body, within your body, to make your body want to burn more fat instead of storing fat. So it's almost like you're fasting when you're on this stuff, but you're not actually fasting. That's what it basically turns your body on. It's a nice cheat code, putting your body in that environment to burn fat. And it's a really cool thing. And it's one of those things where, again, the side effects, it's not like taking an over-the-counter stimulant or some of these harsher things like clenbuterol or any of the other stuff that make you jittery and give you hypoglycemia and cook you from the inside and do all this stuff. The side effects on this, even when given to seniors, even when given to obese people who are like 350 pounds, was tolerable. And we're gonna get into side effects later, but this is really an amazing drug. And I don't like taking pills to help you lose weight. And I've never liked doing that. And I've always been, against it. But this is one that I can put myself behind because of the risk versus reward. What are the side effects, and what is it doing inside your body? It's not causing your body temperature to rise over 100 degrees. It's not causing your heart to enlarge. It's not causing your red blood cells to shoot up. So it's really an amazing drug.
How old school sometimes have I been in the past, Steve, where on certain approaches, including what you're referring to, I'm like, guys, just stop putting the extra fucking food in your mouth and do your goddamn steps. And the absolutely old school hardcore, get out there, get it done, suffer you bitches, and be happy with the results you get because you put in the work. Absolutely. Right. I like this, and something that Steve's kind of suggested, I thought the phrase that sprung to mind, Steve, is it's making your body more efficient at using the food that you are giving it. Are you able to eat as much as before? No. So there's an argument for calorific restriction. But of the food that you are eating, that second step, the second of the two-pronged approach that tirzepatide is giving you is making you more efficient user of the food that you're putting in. And that means you don't have those, as Steve said, those up and downs. We even over, sorry, prescribed medications for obesity in the past, just to be rather graphic here, Steve, included one, you might remember the name of it, where the side effect was oily shits. And the idea that it's perfectly easy to take got it removed the fat from your diet. So the suggestion was that you ate the same food that you was eating before, and the product would remove the fat. It wasn't sort of using fibers. It was literally removing the fat chemically in the stomach using this particular medication. The problem was that fat had to come out somewhere. And the key phrase that sprang to mind that just made it difficult to use was that you might have anal leakage, meaning you would have an oily shit coming out of your ass when you didn't want to, in your goddamn pants, in your underpants, in your briefs, while you were walking around, while you're at work. And so the idea that people could stick to this product rather than, say, for example, remove fat from their diet was just a joke. And of course, it fell off a cliff. So any product that enables you to both restrict your calories and feel good restricting your calories and not have those highs and lows, you start to look at it. And like I said, I'm old school, but I still looked at the scientists and all of these products that we've discussed and gone, you know what? I love the fact that instead of just trying to hammer the point really badly, they've kind of gone, what does a body do? How can we make the body feel good? How can we minimize the side effects? And then you start to look at the results, which we're going to get into. And the results have been long-term amazing. If there's any argument, Steve, and it won't really apply to our listeners for reasons of that are kind of obvious, the sheer amount of money, the cash, what it's cost, and the amount of money the companies are going to make is probably the one that would piss me off a little bit in terms of you've got this fabulous product, but it's costing a great deal. And even that arguably is starting to change as well. But that's the only thing. That's business. You can't argue with business. But the rest of it, I'm not necessarily something that's on my own particular radar, but certainly something that we are seeing people have success with within our own community, within the bodybuilders, people wanting to get in shape in our on the forums, but especially in the wider world. And anything that makes you stick to a program, makes you happier, more comfortable on restricted calories, and gets more out of those restricted calories, so you're not starving, you're not kind of having a sense of what the fuck, why am I doing this and all that kind of thing, and not struggling, and so on, Steve. And then again, we're reading the studies, we're seeing the results, guys, and it's definitely something, to coin a comedy phrase, I could see this being, if big right now, Steve, it's going to be absolutely huge in the future.
All right, let's get into the studies. Let's go over some studies. I got three, and I'm going to go over. Mobster has a couple that he wants to talk about as well. In addition, the first study I'm going to talk about, this was done on almost 10,000 patients, and they lost 10 kilograms or 22 pounds using the dosing ranging up to 15 milligrams a week, and it showed a 94% reduction in type 2 diabetes risk. And I'll link that study in the article for the podcast if you guys want to look that up. The next one is a study that showed more diabetes promise and had the users have an HbA1c drop of over 2% and a weight drop of almost 6 kilograms using 5 milligrams a week over a 6 month span. So that's also very, very impressive. And that shows how effective it is for not just diabetes, but also for losing body fat and losing weight. A next study that I wanted to talk about had 700 obese adults who didn't have diabetes try, and they went up to 15 milligrams a week for 8 months, and they lost 21% of their body weight. That is amazing. So let's say someone is 300 pounds and they lose 21% of the body fat weight. That's a fifth of their body weight. That's a lot of weight to be losing in just that amount of time. So you can do the math and figure that one out. That's 63 pounds. So they went from 300 pounds to 237 pounds. That is life-changing right there. But the interesting thing about this study, which is very, very important, is those that continued for an additional 4 months, so they went a full year, they not only lost that 21%, they lost an additional 5% on top of it. So if they started out, let's say, at 300 pounds, and then they got down to that 237, right? So they lost the 21%, they got down to 237. Then from there, they lost another 5%, which is another 12 pounds. So now they're down to 225 pounds, mobster. So that's 75 pounds in a year. And that's quality l losses. That's quality losses. That's not like just a bunch of, bad weight that's come off. That's.
I'll sum this up, Steve. We see what's called statistically significant numbers mentions in studies, and sometimes a statistically significant number might be 3, 4 kilograms, might be 1, 2, 3%. And the studies, the researchers will say, oh, that's statistically significant. Not fucking
Well, this
tens
is
of
why it's
kilograms,
not. So let
not
me finish.
70 pounds, Steve.
Yeah,
Jesus. Yeah.
I gotta finish the study. So those that stayed on lost another 5% of their body weight for 4 months, right? But those that came off and were given a placebo had a bounce back of 14% of their body weight. So that just shows you that those who took placebo gained it back. So it's not just in your mind. It's not just like the way you're thinking about this. This drug changes the what's going on into your in your body. It changes the mechanisms of how you burn fat, and it allows your body to be in a fat burning mode. So that's a really cool study. So talk about that, the way they bounce back, the ones that were on placebo, and then we'll move on to the next study.
Yeah, so we've heard of rebound again across the spectrum of these particular medications. I do know from the studies that you and I have looked at that they've specifically been told that they must be more active. Every single study said that we encouraged the participants, or the participants were educated to the go out and bed. I'll put it crudely, Steve, to go out and get your fucking steps, to go out walking, to do some more exercise, number one. And number two, specifically, to be eat cleaner. And I suspect here, Steve, part of the rebound is, as we know, that your appetite increased, you've talked about it, but also these people coming off the medication and perhaps getting back into their former habits. And that would probably be
No, I think they stayed in the same. They stayed in the same. So I think
if they stayed in the same, then it's definitely the medication difference
It's not in
100%.
your system anymore. It's like taking Masteron and hardening up and then coming off Masteron and you get softer. It's the medication that's putting you in a certain environment.
I know that all the participants in every single study, Steve, have not been in-house, so I would want to look at that aspect as well. But that's more to do with people taking a certain degree of responsibility, and it's something that perhaps needs to be looked at as well, because you want the gains. I wouldn't mind some rebound, but I would hate to gain all everything back that I lost. That would be a head fuck, to say the least.
Well,
That's not what's been suggested.
if you're taking away what's it's like when I ran Tren, back in the day, and I was benching over 400 pounds. Well, when I came off Tren, you don't just magically keep your strength. You're going to lose your strength pretty rapidly because that's
Yeah,
an
but the Steve,
ungodly
that's the
amount.
argument that's been made many times. We don't lose all our strength. I've talked before many times about you won't be benching 400, but you don't go back to benching exactly what you did before. You should be benching a little bit more, and
I would say a
equally.
bench. I would say if you, yeah, if you went, if you went, if you, whatever got you to 300 pounds fat, And then you went back to doing it. Of course, you're probably going to gain everything back when
Yeah,
you come
because
off.
these people
You don't
aren't
just
going to the gym.
permanently, yeah, you
Our
don't.
listeners are going. Our listeners are going to the gym, Steve. Our listeners are
Yeah.
hopefully easy, clean, training well, etc. So it's that kind of the aspect
Yeah.
that we see sometimes
And
suggests
we're
that
going
an
to talk
avoidable. But
about user
yeah,
experiences, but go over your
don't lose all
studies.
your gains, guys. Don't lose all your gains. That's the thing. Well, in here, don't gain all your losses. That would be a head fuck to say the
So what
least.
do you
Let me
got
talk
with?
about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what about the studies here, right? So Steve suggested at the beginning of the show. I won't read out every single aspect of this, but essentially what happened, this is on the Lilly investors page. They announced on May 11th, Steve. And what they'd done is they compared their product, tirzepatide, with semaglutide. And in order to make, I'll just preface this, you have to be very, very careful when you're talking about comparing your product to a competitor's product. You need to be, basically, you don't want to get your ass sued, Steve. You don't want to be dragged into a court of law and told that you took the piss when you made the comparison. That's to put it crudely. So any suggestion that they make that their product is better has to be as detailed and on point as possible. Let me read out the results. Primary endpoint participants treated with Zepbound, as Steve said, that's the tirzepatide trade name for obesity, achieved an average weight reduction of 20.2% compared to 13.7% for the semaglutide at 72 weeks, so over a year, a 47% greater relative weight loss. One of the other notes I made here underneath, Steve, was, and this is just waist reduction, and I want the listeners that are listening to the show, think about this effect. Reducing your waist, Steve, by 7.2 inches on average, which means some people would be more, some less, but 7.2 inches on average on tirzepatide versus a 5.1 inch waist reduction on semaglutide. Now, either of those two numbers, Steve, if for any of you listeners that want to have a slimmer waist, broader shouldered look, can you imagine just reducing your waist by 5.1 inches? I would fucking transform, Steve, no matter what my waist is right now. And the idea that I could reduce it, arguably looking at the numbers here, Steve, close to 25% more from 5.1 inches to 7.2 inches is fantastic. And as I said here, which is super, super important here, you have to be so on point if you're putting your product up against a competitor's product and you're saying that our product is better to do that stuff. If you fuck it up, Steve, you're in a court of law and they're going to be looking for hundreds of millions of dollars. The second was more of a news release, but I'll read it out anyway, Steve. And I think it's one of those how the market's going to work. And I mentioned the cost issue earlier on. So I'll get into this just briefly. Again, this is June 16th, so just a few days ago, out on the news wires. Today announced that the highest approved doses of Zepbound, tirzepatide, which are 12.5 milligram and 15 milligram, respectively, will soon be available in single dose vials for $499 per month. We talked about a price before, Steve, on other shows, via the Lilly's Direct Self-Pay Pharmacy Solutions and the Zepbound Self-Pay Journey Program. Healthcare providers can begin to provide these on July 7th, so next month, and shipment to patients will begin in early August. Now, I have two things from both these studies. The first study, there was no type 2 diabetes whatsoever. It was specifically just done on patients with obesity and the medical issues associated with obesity. So again, the reduction of body weight that I've mentioned and that waist reduction, which is absolutely fucking amazing. And something that you and I touched upon when we were talking, I believe, about semaglutide was the US price being something like $1,000 a month. And now you're looking at a month on tirzepatide, Steve, at half that price. Just get your head around the fact that they have literally cut the price in half for a better product compared to what was previously the market leader. Super fucking business, massively competitive, and arguably, Steve, a better product overall. So, what do you think on both those points?
Yeah, so what's happening is those who are getting the diabetes, they're still able to get through your insurance, no problem. Those who are getting prescribed for obesity, the insurance company isn't going to cover, you know. So that's what's happening, and we're talking about people paying up to $1,000 $1 a month, mobster. So it'd be a shame to spend that kind of money on a drug and not take full advantage of it. Because as you said, you still have to eat good on it. There's a lot of people, if you talk to pharmacists, which I have, I've talked to pharmacists, gotten some intel from them, and they've said we get a lot of people coming in for these drugs, but they don't lose weight. They don't lose weight on them. So look, you're not going to be able to continue eating like shit on it. So what I recommend is, these studies, they have them. They have them coached on diet. They have them coached on doing cardio, on training, on getting that body burning calories, and you got to take full advantage of it. You don't want to spend that kind of
Yes.
money and not taking full advantage of it. Luckily, though.
On the forum, Steve, this is the point, and again, I think this is a reflection of our listener profile. You listeners will be interested in training. You listeners will be interested in PED use, interested in the lifestyle. The people that come onto our forums are not coming onto our forums hoping we would probably laugh at them, and we're really, really nice normally, but you can't come onto the forums and say that you're going to eat shit, drink and take drugs, and is there a drug that I can take that's going to help me lose weight? Because absolutely, we would school you in the nicest possible way to eat cleanly. We've seen the greatest results with clean eating, with meal prepped, the greatest results with daily steps done, the greatest results with training, and then suggesting good protocols for using these kind of products to give you the absolute best outcome and encourage you as best as possible for arguably what we call lifestyle changes rather than these dietary 6 months, 3 months, whatever that most diets, especially I think at Weight Watchers, Steve, where stuff seems to be, the mindset is always a limited time scale rather than you changing how you eat forever and enjoying the process forever, as you should. So I suspect our audience profile is going to be the kind of people that will ultimately even more benefit from the use of these products, because we are already doing most of the other things that we want people, obese patients, etc., to do.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought on what I was gonna say, but at the end of the day,
You were talking a bit about the insurance stuff and the cost for some people, etc., Steve. I mean, look, it says here, actually says at the end of the news release, it talks about the prices, etc., and it says eligible adults with obesity and a valid prescription. You was referring to talking to pharmacists, regardless of insurance. It actually says that in the article. And you were talking about how people are not doing that because they've been asking pharmacists for over-the-counter doses of these products, but they haven't made the changes, which is why I talked about the other thing.
All right, so let's move on to user experiences, Mobster. And there's three different guys on here. We have Hypo Games, and is his screen name. And his log is called Testosterone Masterone HGH Cruise Cycle Log. And we have another guy named Modderbug, and his log is called My 6 Month TRT and Anavar Recomp. And then another guy is Mark NV, and his log is called Fat Loss Cycle Log. So in all three of these, they use tirzepatide. And Mobster, why don't you go over these three and anything else you want to add? And let's start with the first guy, Hypo Games. And why don't you talk about that?
So I've got it listed for the purposes of the show. I've got it done in a different order. So I'm going to go with fat loss, which is actually the third one that Steve's talked about. It's worth mentioning here, Steve, that this particular gentleman is 60 years of age, the same as myself. And I looked back on the time scales. One of the things I find interesting, Steve, is he trains at 2 o'clock in the morning. He's one of these guys, if he wakes up in the middle of the night and he can't get back to sleep, he gets up and he goes to the gym. So that's absolutely crazy. And what I've done is I looked at the dosing where possible to see if that had been tweaked. But I was specifically interested here in the time scales for the weight loss. So this is actually a kind of short time scale here, Steve. It's only 16 days that this particular member has been doing this. And he weighed 259 pounds on June the 4th. And he's down to 256.4 pounds on June the 20th. Now, you've got to remember, the guy's doing cardio at 2 o'clock in the fucking morning, Steve. And in 14 days, he's already down 4 pounds. And he's not actually really the best example in terms of time scale. I believe that was the only one I couldn't find the milligrams that he was using, but we know he's on anthracycline because he's mentioning it. And I did look at about 16 pages to see there. Let me go on to hypogam that Steve's mentioned. And this is actually dating, Steve, from April the 3rd. Through, I found the dosage on that he was taking May the 5th, and I'll get to that momentarily, and where he is now. So April the 3rd, he weighed 110 kilograms. That's 242 pounds. On May the 5th, I found that he was taking just 2.5 milligrams a week, which is fantastic, Steve. I think that's a really sweet, that's a sweet spot for the dosaging. And just today, in fact, he weighed in 105.8 kilograms, which is about 236 pounds. So he's down 6 pounds. He's looking at probably on the time scale there, Steve, I'm going to say what we're looking at there.
No, it's
One or two.
more. It's 10. He lost 10 pounds. 10
Yeah,
pounds.
actually, yeah. Sorry, you're looking, you're right. It's very, very close to 10 pounds.
Yeah.
It was 106 kilos versus 110 kilos, 4 kilos, 9.9 pounds. So, yeah, about 10 pounds in total. And you're looking there time scale wise, that's about 3/4 of a pound a week. I actually think here, which is kind of interesting for me, is that kind of weight loss is capable. When you look at the way that people do the Weight Watchers and similar, if loads of people lose loads and loads of weight initially, and then the progress after that slows down. What we've seen, and I'll do the third log as well, is the what we've seen with all three of these logs is consistent. We've seen it with the studies that we've looked at. The longer the study went on, the longer that they used the products, including tirzepatide, the greater the weight loss, the greater the change overall, the huge bigger percentage change, and a bigger waist reduction, and so on and so forth. So, and again, 2.5 milligrams here. Then you've got the my 6 week, was it in my 6 month, sorry, log. I'm looking at it here, down 10 pounds to April the 27th. So he'd already been on at that point 4 weeks on tirzepatide. I couldn't find the initial post, but it was there anyway. Just using slightly less here, Steve, 2 milligrams. Most recently, the most recent update, looking in terms of time scales, I found a few weeks ago he weighed 215 pounds in his initial, sorry, his initial starting weight had been 225. And he's actually on the highest dosage here, Steve, at 3.8 milligrams. And someone actually said they thought that was a little bit higher, but nevertheless, he's at an all-time low body weight here in terms of where he started from, and it'd be 8 pounds more, or more or less 8 pounds at 208.8 pounds, and that was yesterday. So what is interesting, and Steve and I have looked at other logs and seen glutide being used, et cetera, et cetera. The 60-year-old, in my mind, the initial one is probably the best for me because you, as Steve said earlier on in the show, talking about people that are 60, 70 years of age not having issues staying on. You are seeing consistent weight loss. You are seeing, in fact, all three of these, Steve, are improving in the gym. Without me even making a note of the numbers, I'm seeing progress right across the board. One of the ones specifically mentioned, I believe it was the hypogam, again, where he talks about the sensation of energy, specifically being able to go to the gym. And I suspect with the initial one that I read out there, Steve, the 60-year-old again, the only issue, and it's got nothing to do with the fact he's using tirzepatide, is piss poor sleep. And I think I've mentioned multiple times on his log, Steve, how the fuck are you training at 2:15 in the morning to do your cardio? How the hell are you going to the gym? I think one time was 2:25, the earliest I've ever trained. It's 7:20 in the morning, and that was because I was busy as fuck for the rest of the day. So, what are your thoughts on the logs there, Steve? Because I'm quite happy to debate a couple of these particular ones in regards to the progress. But think about it in this way, this now. Every single one of these logs is making progress downwards. Every single one of these logs has been successful with their fat loss. Every single one of these logs, I would argue, Steve, is seeing progress in the gym. So, in terms of a thumbs up for use of the product, every single one is in the right direction. The only argument is whether my 6 month log requires the 3.8 milligrams, because I believe Anyway, start. We've seen, and this is what we're getting to now a little bit as well, Steve. The dosages. What do we think the dosages should be? Do they need to be as high as 3.8 milligrams or as 2.5 milligrams of sweet spot? Because that's something we probably need to discuss in detail here. But what do you think about these logs before we get into the dosage part as well?
Well, yeah, they all have, something in common. They're all working out. They're all having a relatively strong diet. So you can go check out those logs and get some ideas. And they're all losing somewhere between a half a pound to a pound a week, at least initially. And then as you lose more weight, obviously the weight loss is going to slow down, as we exactly the way we see in the study, because you're not just going to keep losing weight forever at the same clip, then you would weigh nothing after a certain amount of time. So what happens is your weight loss will start slowing down, and then you can kind of change up the dosing. So one of the things
But
with
sorry, just to jump in here just for a second, Steve. It's also worth mentioning, and I should have actually probably said this, every single one of these particular guys is also using performance enhancing drugs,
Correct.
which of course the people in the study would not. So that's worth mentioning as well, listeners, just that they're adding muscle and getting
So
stronger as well.
the anabolic steroids is kind of pushing back on the weight loss because the anabolic steroids are anabolic. So it's almost like you're doing a recomp. You're holding on to your muscle or trying to gain muscle while also losing body weight and body fat. So that's one of the things. So that's a good way. And we're going to talk about how to stack with steroids. Well, let's move into the dosing. We don't have much time left, and I want to definitely get into this. So look, we had a guy on my log because I'm using retatrutide on my log, and I'm down to the lowest that I've weighed since I was like in my late 20s. This was when post endurance, when I was an endurance athlete. So basically, I'm down like over about 35 pounds from my peak weight when I was in my mid 30s, when I was doing a lot of heavy weight training and hitting the gym like crazy. And one of the guys came on my log and was like, "Oh, Steve, you only weigh 165 pounds. That's really tiny." And I'm like, dude, did you even read the fucking log, dude? The whole purpose of using these GLP-1s, tirzepatide, in my case, the retatrutide, is to lose weight. So, guys, if you aren't willing to lose weight and you're not willing to be like Mark in his log in weighing the least he's weighed in years, or in my situation, the least I've weighed in about 25 years, then pick something else. This isn't for you. But the whole idea is to lose body weight and it's to lose body fat. That's the
Yeah,
idea.
it can be a
Okay.
head fuck for some people, but listen,
Yeah.
guys, as
They're
Steve told
so
me to
brainwashed and so sick in the brain with bigorexia that they don't
be
understand.
lean, be
Yeah.
muscular, get your heads around.
That's literally the point. So don't take this if you're not willing to lose body weight, period. Okay. So let's talk about the dosing. So, look, the general consensus that I would recommend people to start with is somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5 milligrams a week. Start there, give it 4 weeks. Then you can start increasing the dose as you please. Now, in the studies, they went up to 15 milligrams. These are extremely obese people. These are people who are
Yes,
300, 350, 400 pounds, whatever. In your
yes.
situation, most of you listening to this, you're
Won't be.
some. So, one of the things we want to make sure is we use it, we slowly increase the dose because then the side effects can kind of hit you hard. Remember, it's a slow release compound. There's a reason you don't take it every day. In the studies, they were taking it every week for a year or for 6 months. There's a reason for that. Who the fuck wants to inject themselves every fucking day? Nobody. So, we want to make sure that we are. So here's the thing. We've seen guys go. I've never seen really guys who are using it with steroids and guys, who are around 200 pounds, something like that, normal gym goers using it very high. So we've seen situations like in the user experiences, the most like Motorbug, you said he ran it up to 3.8 milligrams. I would not go very much higher. So I would increase it. I'd start at 1.5 to 2.5. Then you, after 4 weeks, see where you're at. See how you feel with the side effects. Are you getting the stomach issues? We're gonna get into side effects later, in this segment. But are you getting any of those stomach issues? Are you getting the diarrhea? Are you getting the nausea? Are you getting super, super bad even when you're not overeating? And in that situation, you might want to tinker a bit and drop it a little bit. But generally, you want to use it weekly and go that route and increase it by maybe a half a milligram after that initial 4 weeks. Maybe after a couple weeks, increase it a half milligram, then increase another half milligram and see where you're at. Then you can start, stay at a dose, and you can always reduce it by a quarter milligram or half a milligram thereafter and kind of go back and forth. It's really no rule. But eventually, when you decide, you know what, I've hit a good weight. I don't want to lose anymore. I'm getting ready to like now I went from 165 now to 162. I weighed 162 yesterday. Now I'm back up to like 164. So my weight fluctuates. But once I get to maybe like a high 150s, I'm going to drop my dose to a maintenance dose where I'm just going to keep it at 1 milligram every 2 weeks or half a milligram a week or something like that. Because if I just come off cold turkey, I'm going to have a big rebound effect. So that's something to think about as well. But you want to commit to using it a solid 4, 5, 6 months to get the maximum benefits from it because it is such a slow release and it's going to take 4 or 5 weeks to reach peak in your system. So really, you want to play around with the dosing and go from there. But in these studies, they were using it up to 15 milligrams. And they were fine. There wasn't some crazy side effects, but it's just not necessary for most of you, especially considering you're also using anabolic steroids with them. And I would think that there'd be a method to the madness of using the anabolic steroid. So let me talk about the side effects. And then Mobster's gonna talk about microdosing. The main side effects to watch out for is the bloating, the gas, the nausea, the heartburn, which is something I had to deal with. For a period of time, and then it went away once I dropped the dose. I dropped the dose on my retrudotride, which is similar to rizurbitide. We've talked retrudotride on another podcast, but I dropped the dose a little bit, like a half a milligram, and the heartburn went away. Also, different foods you're eating. Don't overeat. Don't eat high fat foods that can have a hard time, especially with the slow gastric emptying. You don't want to stress out your gut a lot with certain foods that upset your stomach. So if you have a hard time digesting a certain food, maybe high fat foods, you have a hard time digesting, maybe beans, you have a hard time digesting, fermented foods, garlic, onions, lots of different things out there that can irritate your gut, right? That are high FODMAP, you may want to avoid those types of foods. So it forces you to eat clean, Mobster, because if I eat something I shouldn't eat, or if I overeat, you are going to get punished. You're going to feel nauseous for like a few hours or till the next day. I had a workout one time. I went to a late dinner, late dinner, which I never eat late dinners. I ate around 8 o'clock. The dinner wasn't ready till 8 o'clock. And I had some brisket, which is very, very high fat meat, right? And what happened was the next morning I couldn't go work out because I was still bloated and gassy from that brisket because the digestion had a really hard time. So don't eat too late if you have a workout the next morning. You got to be smart on this stuff. It forces you to keep your portions small. It forces you to be really anal about the foods you eat. So in that way, it's a good thing because you're going to get punished, like I said. So I'm also talk about microdosing a little bit, and then we'll get into the cycles.
Dosing in general, Steve, when we've seen side effects, it's been normally in our users who are using less than in the studies. It's been when they've changed it, and it takes a week or so for people to get used to the new dosage. Something I saw, which I thought was a good piece of advice on the forums, if 2 milligrams works for you, keep using 2 milligrams until it doesn't. Steve's give you some suggestions in terms of the 4 weeks, in terms of tweaking. Listen, it'd be the same with PEDs. If 50 milligrams of something works and you're getting stronger and you're getting more muscular, you don't need to double it up. You don't need to triple it up. So for me, what works, stay with it. And then when it doesn't work or when you want to push the changes, then you would tweak it again. The micro dosing, look, very briefly, guys, bodybuilders, the people that come onto our forums historically have pushed the envelope. And certainly when we're using steroids, we're using them for performance purposes and not medical reasons. So we've always looked for an edge, we've always looked for an angle. So the suggestion with microdosing was if I use this on a daily or 3 or 4 times a week instead of weekly, would I see an improvement? And the short and simple answer to that was no. The studies that we've talked about, the numbers that we give you from those studies Again, this is across all the products, but specifically tirzepatide, as per the subject of today's show, has specifically been so fucking amazing. And it's about keeping people that with obesity to take these products on a regular basis. In other words, do what they're supposed to do. So the idea that they could take a single dose once a week and still see these amazing outcomes says to me, Steve, that there are zero. I can't see, unless we see a study or we see long-term historical protocols from the kind of logs that we see on the forum, and I mean years, I cannot see any benefit to the idea of more frequent dosing of smaller amounts. The amount you're putting in, even at 15 milligrams, is tiny. What would that be, Steve? It'd be like half a mil of fluid with 15 milligrams of the active drug in that half a mil. And that's once a fucking week. So what are you going to be putting on a daily basis? One, half a milligram, three quarters of a milligram, less. And then needing to do an injection more than once a week. It doesn't make any sense to me, especially as I can't see the suggestion, even the suggestion of long-term benefits. So it's a nice idea. I like the fact that people are thinking outside the box. I like the fact that as bodybuilders as usual are trying to look for a different angle, Steve, but I can't see any benefit from microdosing. One injection a week, like TRT, Steve, have piece of piss, do it all one day, forget all about it, and then go out and just look for those the fat loss and getting into shape like you've never got into shape before. Let's talk a little bit now, Steve, about the suggestions of using pharmaco products, like we've seen with some of the logs that we've talked about here, and what we would run alongside
Yeah.
our using the zepatite.
Look, and at the end of the day, it's like what I said earlier, like guys, I mean, and gals out there, the whole purpose of using this is fat loss and body weight loss. So it makes little sense to me to run something that's a bulking steroid with your tirzepatide. I'd run a cutting, run cutting. Anavar is a great option. Anavar is a great option with it. And as a man or a woman, you can run Anavar with it. As a woman, 5 to 10 milligrams a day is plenty. As a man, 30 to 50 milligrams a day is plenty. And Pharmaco has fantastic Anavar, and it's a great product. It's been actually tested, and they have a banner that says testing. You can click on the testing and see that it came out. What was it, 98 or 99% pure, which is pharmacy quality. And that's what we like to see out of a product. So that's fantastic. Pharmaco also has excellent primobolan. And primobolan is very popular among the Australians on our forum, not so much among the Americans, but it's starting to come back, I think, in America too. But primobolan is a great cutting steroid because the side effects are low. So when you run it and you don't, you can basically run it and it can be a smooth cycle, and you can run. You could start the tirzepatide monster, I think, for like a couple months. And then once you get the hang of it and figure out what dosing
Yes,
works for you, then you could run a cycle in conjunction with it. And then when you stop your cycle, you keep the tirzepatide going.
that's
So you're.
actually something that I was looking at one of the logs earlier on, Steve, and someone made the comment that I actually said a long time ago. It enables you to get used to the suggestion of the healthier diet and the greater steps. So basically, you're already putting those fixes in place. You're training in the gym, you're using the tirzepatide, and then you introduce the PEDs, then you introduce this. The anabolics that are going to help you to retain muscle and/or get leaner.
Another good option too is equipoise, especially if you want to go more cardiocentric. And the nice thing about tirzepatide is the more cardio you put in, the more hard work you put in, the more benefits you're going to get because your body's already in that fat burning mode. So now you're putting your body even more fat burning mode by doing lots of cardio, and it doesn't bother your heart. The tirzepatide doesn't bother your heart. So you can run equipoise if you want to do more cardiocentric training. And another one to add with equipoise or run by itself is Turonabol. And Turonabol is also a good one that you can use with endurance training. So with the equipoise, 300 to 500 milligrams a week is really good. And then you can run the Turonabol similar to the Anavar, maybe 30, 40 milligrams a day would be really good. Very, very mild steroid. Won't give you pumps while you're running like these other steroids like Anavar would. So if you want to do more cardio-centric stuff, I think that Toronto ball would work fantastic. What are some of your ideas, Mobster?
I was thinking along the same lines, Steve, but I was also looking at perhaps the argument for Masteron, Steve. We know that Masteron's a great hardener. We know also that Masteron boosts your available free testosterone on cycle. Provarin is better, but Masteron is a great. I'm also looking here. I'm going to ask you about one, Steve, because I've not seen this anywhere else, and I'm just looking at it now. But I'm also looking at, and I've used a very, very similar product myself, which also arguably contains Tren, and that's their Fast Rip 150 products. I made notes as you were talking, Steve, and I wrote down EQ, Winstrol, low dose test, but Steve's covered a bunch of these. Let me ask you about this one, Steve. I am looking at the EQ Tren 400. Now, we know the obvious issues with trading the side effects, but the combination of these two products together, what do you think about that for pharmacro? I'm literally looking at this product right now. Would you risk that on this particular cycle,
Only if
especially
you,
once it?
yeah, only if you've used Tren in the past and you've
Yes.
been okay on it. For me, with Tren in the past, I'm always good for at least one good throw up on Tren, where I just wake up one morning and it's just like I feel like a pregnant woman. You just feel that morning sickness and you just throw up like half the day. So Tren is one of those things where it really tears up your stomach. It's very inflammatory. It makes you nauseous in its own right, and it makes you very hot. So it's kind of like it's not a comfortable situation to be in. So only if you can tolerate the side effects of Tren enough,
Something else I'm
do
just
it.
looking at, Stephen, just I'll ask you for your comments on this. We quite often talk about our female listeners, and we say, for example, low dose Anavar. Something again, I'm literally looking at this as we're talking, Steve. They've got a female Provarin, very low dose, 5 milligrams. They've got their own version of Femavar, which is called Firmavar, 2.5 milligrams, and they've also got a Firmawin, 2.5 milligrams of Winstrol. So talk about perhaps female users and cycles that they could do also with, alongside tirzepatide, something that we don't normally cover on these shows.
Yeah, and again, experience, experience, experience. So with Anavar, it's a much safer option. I mentioned it earlier, up to 10 milligrams a day, even 2.5 milligrams would be okay, especially if you're a newbie female, and especially if you're just trying to get in better shape and harden up and stuff. Winstrol, it's very strong. I wouldn't run very much Winstrol as a female, maybe 2 milligrams, just a very, very tiny amount. So if you get like a 10 milligram pill, split it into five pieces and only take 2 milligrams of it. And that would be a lot to harden up and dry out. So those would be good options as well. I would run them toward the end. So if you're running the tirzepatide for 6 months and then you're going to maybe switch to a maintenance dose or you're going to come off of it and you really want to look good, you have a vacation coming up, you want to take pictures to put on your social, then you can run the one of these orals toward the end. Same thing on the males. You can run it toward the end of your tirzepatide ride, maybe the last 6 weeks, 5 weeks, and then really harden up and dry out ahead of the pictures, and you'll have really good vascularity. So
Yeah.
it's a trial and error thing, but it's not something where you just want to jump into if you've never used tirzepatide and you've never used anabolic steroids. Let's just use them together. No, you want to have experience with anabolic steroids before you start using anabolic steroids with tirzepatide. Otherwise, you're not gonna know what to expect. So, it's really good. And it's also important to track your progress when you're doing one of these cycles when you're using tirzepatide so you can learn. I track my weight, I track my dosing, I track even how I feel in my log, and I'm figuring out that example, the brisket. The don't eat too late. Don't eat things like brisket that are high fat. Like even if I go shopping for meat, I don't get the higher fatty meats now. But I used to eat the more high fatty meats. And even things like bone broth are extremely high in fat. And if you consume the bone broth, it may irritate your stomach while you're on the tirzepatide and be really, really difficult on your digestion. So you gotta remember the slow gastric release is gonna change the way you eat. But in the end, those of you who think that you're going to be able to take tirzepatide and go eat McDonald's and Chick-fil-A and all this junk food that's full of oils and nasty preservatives, if you think that you're going to have success, you're not. and you're basically going to just be nauseous all day, and it's just not going to work. So it's not that much of a magic pill, but I'm telling you, if you get your diet on point, you get your nutrition on point, you get your training, you're exercising every day, just go, worst case, just go for a walk around your neighborhood every fucking day. Get in some exercise, do some stairs, go to a hotel or a motel or something and just run up and down the stairs, or go to a stadium, like a high school stadium that's empty all summer. And you can just go there, as long as there's no signs saying, no trespassing, just go to the stadium and run up and down the seats, on the empty stadium, or run around the field, run around the track, and get some exercise done, and it really, really pay off. It will make this even a better experience, which
Yeah, I mean, look,
absolutely is.
if we're talking about specific obesity, abso-fucking-lutely, Steve is 100% correct. We know this is a lifestyle thing, Steve, and we know that there's an element of, and you and I have discussed this on other shows, food choices, and Steve's talked about specifically the poor quality of food that's available in America with some of the restrictions and regulations versus, say, here in Europe and specifically here in the UK. And when Steve's described it in detail, I've agreed. So look, I mean, the classic example, and Steve's just touched upon going around the fields, etc., is just small lifestyle changes. But let me focus on one thing here, Steve, and that's specifically the idea of using tirzepatide, getting used to it, managing any potential side effects, being okay with the dosage, seeing improvement, and then bearing in mind we're talking about 6 months to a year, should be the longer the better on tirzepatide, on these products, maybe doing one or two cycles. Don't forget, in terms of peptides, you're looking to, and products like tirzepatide, Steve, look at Umbrella Labs. But let's talk about specifically Pharmaquo here. And just me saying a few minutes ago, as we were talking about potential cycles and stacks, et cetera, that you could run by using tirzepatide, Steve, I've blown away just by looking literally, said the one I mentioned earlier on, the EQ and trend in one single 400 milligram product is something I've never seen before. Something I talk about when I talk about approved sources is the size. I like the idea, and I'm looking at products as I talk to the listeners right now. I like the idea that this is just the vials and some of their blister packs, Steve. These products look like the kind of products that you would see in the pharmacy's cabinet at a pharmacy. You walk in, and there is a look, a generic look to all kind of prescribed medications. They have a certain look, they're certain clean. It's the association with a pharmacy, it's the association with a pharmaceutical company. And any company, any person that's investing the time and the energy, the holograms, the barcodes, the batch numbers, the ability to check your product on a list and see that it's actually legitimate. That's just huge time and investment. That costs money to put those kind of products together. We have seen poor products. We have seen wonky labels. We have seen products that look like they've been done with the My Child's First Printing Kit. And then what I want to see when I'm using any kind of a steroid medication, any kind of performance enhancement product, is a product that makes me trust it just by looking at it. Then, as Steve said about the 97, 98% earlier on, we touched upon this in another research show. We want the products that we use to look like, sorry, to be tested. We want them to be high quality. And when Stephen mentioned that 97, 98% earlier on, that's actually above and beyond the requirement, the regulations for how close a product produced by a pharmaceutical company needs to be. I believe it's, I can't remember if it's minus, plus or minus 5% or plus or minus 10%, Steve. Yeah, if I was taking an over-counter painkiller, Steve, and it says 200 milligrams, it could be 180 or 220. Products that were tested independently by a member on the forum out of his own pocket with his own expense, his own $1,000, I believe it cost him. He went off and got 10 random products from different approved sources, different resellers, including companies like Pharmaquo. And he had all these products sent off to a lab for testing, and every single one came in less. In other words, better than the restriction, the regulations that are allowed within the pharmaceutical industry. That doesn't mean the pharmaceutical industry is off. It just means there's a bigger allowance, and every single one of these products was within range. Some were slightly overdosed. So yeah, look, you can come onto the forums and you can look at logs like we've talked about earlier on with this episode. You can literally come onto the forums, put PharmaQuote into the search engine and see people talking about their own specific experiences, see people running stacks, see people doing cycles, and then you can click on those logs from the searches and find out, has this person had great results? Have they been proven? Have they got had gains, Steve? Have they got more muscular? Are they leaner? Are they pushing more weight in the gym? Have they hit their targets? Did they have post-injection pain or was it smooth as fuck? Have they had any side effects that they want to talk about? And you can see for yourself, because I know the answer to this already, and for the benefit of the listeners, I know that you will find PharmaQuote products regarded, rated, and approved by not just me and Steve doing this show, not just as a sponsor of today's show, but literally personal members of the forum that are having great success with the products. What do you think about that as we go into the disclaimer, Steve?
Yeah, and the number one thing when you're using anabolic steroids are any of these compounds that are sold by a brand like PharmaQuote is you want to know that you're taking what you're taking, what it says. Is it says Anavar, you want to make sure you're taking Anavar. It says Primo, you want to make sure you're taking Primo. These are some of the most faked steroids out there, but they're very, very important steroids, especially when you're using something like tirzepatide to get the most out of your cutting and out of your recomposition. So we want to make sure we're using legitimate products. So come on the forum, get a log going, ask where to get PharmaQuote. We've got the best sources, and we want to make sure that you're getting the proper brand. So PharmaQuote is an excellent brand. Mobster and I both use them, and we both have a lot of success with them. So great, 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 great brand. We're really lucky to have them.
Come onto the forums, check out the logs that we've talked about on today's show. You can ask those members of their own personal experiences this episode. What do you think about these products? What do you think about this episode? Have you run it yourself? Have you tried different protocols? Perhaps you can come onto the forum and share your knowledge with the users.
All right, take us in a disclaimer,
As
buddy.
always, please, as always, please note we are not doctors and opinions are ours. It's our views and based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.